Welcome back to our third episode in A Bigger Table Politics. This week we're going to hear from a Douglas County Democrat. Before we do that, I just want to read a quote from a book called Public Faith in Action, How to Think Carefully, Engage Wisely, and Vote with Integrity. This is by Miroslav Volf and Ryan McAnally-Lenz. I just butchered that one. But the quote here is, engagement is not a matter of either speaking or doing, not a matter of either offering a compelling intellectual vision or embodying a set of alternative practices, not a matter of either merely making manifest the richness and depth of interior life or merely working to change the institutions of society, not a matter of either only displaying alternative politics as gathered in Eucharistic celebrations or merely working for change as the dispersed people of God. It is all these things and more. The whole person in all aspects of her life is engaged in fostering human flourishing and serving the common good. And I hope you feel that from each of our guests in this podcast, that they all feel their perspectives give to human flourishing. And now, please enjoy my conversation with Douglas County Democrat Jack Lane. Jack Lane is here with me, and thank you for joining me. And I just want to ask you a question. First and foremost, what is your history with politics? What's your affiliation? And can you give us a little summary of what that affiliation believes?
I'll try. I was born in Washington, D.C., lived until 13 years ago in the Washington, D.C. area, graduated from the University of Maryland, and went to work, as many people in the Washington, D.C. area do, for the federal government. So as a civil servant with the federal government, I wasn't permitted to openly address politics. I actually didn't have a particular bent. At the time, I was a registered Republican, and my wife and I lived in Northern Virginia, and that turned out to be a pretty Democratic region. She was a lifelong Democrat. Her parents were Democrats. Mine were Republicans. So that's where we got together. We were happily married in spite of this divide. We moved to Colorado. Both of us worked for the federal government, retired, moved to Thornton up north, and then to Highlands Ranch about 2.5 years ago. It was roughly the time when politics became much more important to both of us. President Trump was elected, and we both voted for Hillary Clinton. And it allowed us then to vent, get angry, disappointed, sad. We grieved for a while and decided we had to do something about that. So we got active in the Douglas County Democratic Party. Didn't know quite what that meant, because 40% of the voters in Douglas County are registered Republicans, 40% are unaffiliated, and only 20% are Democrats. And the Democrats have never won a countywide office that anybody can remember in Douglas County. So we got involved. I'm on the executive committee of the Douglas County Democratic Party. And let me say, it wasn't President Trump that caused me to leave the Republican Party. Rather, it was when the Republicans passed a tax break for the rich, for the corporations, and added $1.5 trillion to the national debt. One of the pillars of the Republican Party, I was an economist and felt strongly about a fiscal conservative policy, which had always been the Republican Party. And when they passed the tax break for the rich and for the corporations, that destroyed that particular foundation of the Republican Party. So I didn't leave because of Trump. I left, I think, that the Republican Party abandoned me by their fiscal policies.
Mm-hmm. So then, if you could give just a maybe like three sentences of what you think, for you personally, the Democratic Party stands for, what would it what would it be?
Mostly it's your title of this is a bigger table. The Douglas County Dems talk about a bigger tent in which everyone can be included. Diversity and inclusion is a big pillar of our Democratic Party. So we look to having people of all races, colors, ethnicities, backgrounds, sexuality, preferences. So we're not eliminating anybody, and none of our policies favor any particular group of that. And we're going to get into some of the faith issues or foundations for me, but I thought that the Democratic Party really was the party of Jesus. And
yeah, so let's jump right into that. That's the next question of how does your faith and politics intersect? Does one inform the other? So keep talking about that.
When I was a fiscal conservative registered Republican, I was always a liberal when social programs were discussed or addressed. So being a social liberal, I look at Matthew 25, and when Jesus talked about we should feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, visit the prisoners, helping needy people, marginalized people, I think is a good thing. The Democratic Party thinks it's a good thing. So we want to include everyone and turn to the needy, and I would include needy not just being people who are poor or hungry or deserving or marginalized, but being an older white guy, we have a lot of needs too. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to include everybody in. My wife and I live in Windcrest, a senior retirement community in Highlands Ranch. It's a large community. So we've got a great deal of diversity. Almost everybody is white. Mm-hmm. So we look at diversity a little bit differently based on backgrounds, politics, religion, regardless. And so there are many needy people, physically needy, mentally needy, and somewhere I probably fit in that category as well. Although I've been very blessed in my entire life, even before I turned to Jesus at age 42, some time ago now, but he was protecting me and guiding me in ways that I didn't realize. Mm-hmm. So Matthew 25 is what drives me when Jesus said, when you do for the least of these, you do for me.
So then how do your politics play a part in your faith community, especially choosing a faith community? And have you ever felt alienated at a church because of your political beliefs?
So you're part of a Presbyterian church. Mm-hmm. I am as well. I attend Cherry Hills Community Church in Highlands Ranch, large, large church, probably the largest in the southern Denver region, Presbyterian as well, although we never talk about that much. My wife and I chose Cherry Hills because they were egalitarian, women were in leadership positions, they had an active ministry for the community, helping people in need, and not just without housing or without food, but people who needed spiritual growth, job help. And so Cherry Hills has a very strong presence in the community. And so that was important to us.
Yeah.
We would vacation in Sedona, Arizona. In 2016, we were attending a cowboy church there. Mm-hmm. And enjoying that, a very welcoming community. And as the election approached and there right after, this particular church began talking about candidates they supported and the positions that they wanted voted in and people they wanted voted in. And we didn't We didn't that. Not only didn't agree with that being said, we didn't agree with who and what they wanted. So we walked away from that church and felt kind of isolated. We were already not wearing our cowboy hats to church, so we were already kind of sticking out among the night very nice people.
That tends to be a common story I hear from people, is they've been to a church where all of a sudden they started preaching politics and telling people to think a certain way. So that's, you're not alone in that story. For you as a Democrat, when you think of somebody else who's part of the an opposing party, it doesn't have to just be Republican, it can be Libertarian, Green Party, whatever. Do you view them as your neighbors, or are they more of a political enemy to you?
Because we live in a community that's now 1,500 people and growing, we have 6 restaurants, 150 clubs and activities, not putting a promotion in for Windcrest, but they're all apartments and we're in tight quarters. Mm-hmm. Some people's political views are pretty evident. We're in a Bible study with people who are from all different, unaffiliated Republican and Democrat. My wife and I view these folks as our neighbors, as our friends. We're not trying to preach a different gospel to them, a different political point of view to them. And we talk openly about what the Bible says, and we do book studies, and they're very eye-opening about how we ought to be treating other people. Not for Castle Rock, but our U.S. congressional member is Jason Crow. He was one of the leaders for the impeachment from the U.S. House of Representatives. And Jason has an interesting approach. He's part of a civility group in Congress where he and a Republican member, he's a Democrat, and a Republican member of his colleague have to come together in order to join. Mm-hmm. So it's about civility, it's about compromise, negotiation, and his approach is kind of ours in that he says, let's agree that there is a problem, and your solution and my solution are not the same, but if we talk about it, and the big difference, I think, is that for many people in politics, one side or the other, or many sides, they don't want to talk about solutions. They don't want to compromise. They don't want to hear different points of view. And Jason says, let's sit down and talk about solutions and see if what we have in common. And so in our Bible study and with other people at Windcrest, we find when we talk, we've got most everything in common.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare. How do we get better healthcare, cheaper healthcare, more available healthcare?
Yeah.
Well, do we want universal healthcare? Do we want to keep our current health plan? Don't know the right answer.
Right.
But if we talk about it, maybe we can find a solution.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best outcomes then of talking about it is we become closer. We should become closer if we're not entrenched in a particular point of view. So if we're going to talk differences, we've got to come with an open mind and be able to say, you've got a good point. I may or may not agree with you, but it's worth thinking about.
Right. And I often find healthcare being one of the examples is that I think Democrats and Republicans can both agree that there's something wrong with our healthcare system. We just have different ways of wanting to fix it, right?
Right.
But we can start at that point of understanding we both know there's a problem.
So the last 22 years of my federal career, I worked for the Secretary of Defense. Had a lot of dealings with Congress, representatives and senators. At that time, when I was working, there was a lot of compromise, not just from John McCain, but many members were not so dogmatic in their points of view. And in order to get my bill sponsored and passed, I needed to go along with some of what you're proposing. So there was a great deal of working together in Congress. Now, boy, as soon as the Democrats bring up a bill, the Republicans seem to be totally against it. When the Democrats were in control more, Republicans would bring up a bill and the Democrats would be totally against it. We're not listening to each other. We're not having conversation in Congress. I think Washington is broken, and it both parties. I'm not defending the Democrats in this. They're very culpable. In Colorado, I thought that last year the Democratic governor, the House and Senate controlled by the Democrats, got a great deal accomplished. And many of the bills were co-sponsored. That's the best way to get a bill passed, even though the Democrats had the majority in both houses and the governorship.
Yeah.
But a great deal was accomplished. And I think that we need to listen to our neighbors more, and elected representatives ought to listen to each other more.
I want to go back before we close it. I want to go back because I skipped over number three for you. So for you, the candidates that you support, is it because of they also hold kind of the same values as you, or is it simply because they wear the jersey of Democratic Party? How does that work for you?
Values are different than policies. Mm. So I support Democratic candidates because of their policies, what they stand for, their personal morals, ethics, and values are a little bit different. And I can say I'm probably liberal, but gosh, I'm not very far left
right.
of center. So there are, for President Trump and Senator Gardner, I have no respect for their values and personal character. And so I could never vote for them. So personal character is very important to me. And that goes back to my faith, that I believe people ought to behave in a certain biblical way. And when they don't, Republican, Democrat, or unaffiliated, or some other party, the personal character is very important to me. So not all Democrats meet my standards by any means. And I get that when Republicans point fingers at certain people in this recent debate and series of debates have raised questions about certain Democratic candidates for president. And it's a lot of it's not based on what they stand for as a candidate or as a member of a party, but rather who they are personally. And so I can reject some people because they're not the Matthew 25 person that Jesus said we ought to be and love all people. And that's, that part of my faith certainly influences, maybe not who I will vote for. I've got to go back, maybe the lesser of two evils in some cases.
Yeah.
But the policies, the platform on which they are running. Recently I read something about somebody else's thinking about church and about Jesus and who Jesus was to them, and it resonated so much with me and resonates so much with Democrats. And the story went something like Jesus would be the one who danced with the drag queens on the Pride parade float, who would laugh with the women preaching at the dinner table who were rejected as preachers in their church, who would welcome with open arms the gay and transgender people. Mm-hmm. And that is more who I am and who I want my party to be. So the degree that I can influence the Douglas County Democratic Party and Democrats in general to behave, to embrace that Jesus, whether they go to church, whether they believe in Jesus or they don't, I want my Democratic friends to
embody that.
Embody those values. Embody that Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it is that Jesus that I find in my church, and I want to find in people around me. And that's the kind of person I want to be. So that I find, that Jesus is more the Democratic Party for me, having been 50 years a registered Republican. Now I see that those values are more in the Democratic Party for me.
If people are interested in either going to a meeting of the Douglas County Democratic Party or something like that, where can they find that information?
We have a website. Look up Douglas County Democrats, and it will eventually link you to. I don't remember the website offhand. I should.
Yeah, you could just Google it. Yeah, that's what I did.
That's all I do. So I don't even have it as a favorite.
And they can find you on Facebook, a Facebook group, and yeah, that's how I got in contact with you guys.
Lane, I'm on Facebook, and if somebody wants to connect and have further discussion, I would be happy to do so over the phone, through electronic means, or preferably in person.
Okay.
Love to do that.
Great. All right. Well, thanks for joining me today, Jack.
Yeah. Great, Jordan. Thank you.
Hopefully this conversation with Jack has opened up some of you to hear the opposite side. Maybe some of you got to hear your side today. But hopefully we can all agree on the fact that it's helpful to listen to each other. And I hope that this podcast continues to do that for you. Next week, we'll hear from a libertarian. A Bigger Table is a series on Voices of Hope, which is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and review it, share it with your friends. We will see you next week.